Hello everybody, this is the translation of John Cherry's message for Sunday the 21st of August, Godly Ambition. Today I would like to talk a little about ambition. We have heard a little from our young people who are starting out on the next phase of their life. As a church, they are part of our family and we want to see them progress and do well. Never be frightened to speak to the young people in church. Too often, today in churches, they are ignored, and then we are scratching our heads in a few years' time, wondering why there are no young families in church. Why is there a lack of young people? It might be that they have become discouraged, ignored. I would encourage each one of you today, talk to the young people, ask them how they are getting on, encourage them, and above all, pray for them on a regular basis. Pray for the Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders also, that they will be encouraged. The work they do is invaluable as they seek to instruct the young, as we read in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and that they may be able, as Paul told the Colossians in chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. How do I discern when my ambition is godly? Is godly ambition only related to mission work? And does having concrete goals of success mean I'm not trusting God's unseen hand? One day, when I was at a Christian conference, I was speaking with one of my friends. He's ambitious, my friend told me, describing someone we both knew. He didn't mean it in a good way. I knew what he was seeing in him, a kind of grasping self-promotion that prioritised his own advancement. The simple definition of ambition means we're working hard to achieve something. As long as that desire and determination is wrapped up in God's glory and not our own, it's a good impulse. But in all of us, the lines can blur and cause a sort of crisis in our lives. One day we work joyfully unto the Lord, and the next we can be dominated by the idol of self-made success. I would like to tackle ambition in two ways today by two simple principles. Action and humility. Godly ambition requires both action and humility. Though we shouldn't be overly introspective, exhaustively questioning the motives of everything we do, it's helpful to keep a pulse on our ambition. I found one basic principle helpful. Godly ambition requires both action and humility. Godly ambition demands action. God has made us to use our hands, our minds and our time to love others through our labour. He's perhaps blessed us with abilities in the field of medicine or teaching ability, or the patience to read through documents, or the organisational gifting to run an office or business. When driven by God-centred ambition, we will produce our best work. I would say to our young people today, we should work hard and attend the classes, read the books, listen to podcasts, discuss things with our tutors at university, or whatever else seems helpful in order to accomplish our ambitions. It's all too easy on a cold winter's morning to pull up the duvet after a night out and say, I can't be bothered going to that class today. I will not bother reading that book. I'd rather play a computer game or watch a film. Is that going to bring success? Is that going to help us achieve our ambition? When the going gets tough, as it will do, we need to grit our teeth and try again instead of sitting around and waiting for God to open a door. If we want to achieve anything, we have got to work hard at it. In sport, it is the same. If people want to achieve, they train hard. They push themselves. And for me, this is part of our testimony in the world that we live in. We should be doing things to the best of our abilities. Whatever our expertise, success doesn't just happen. Labouring unto the Lord requires action. The passive person who shuns personal effort because they trust God might sound spiritual, but the sentiment in my thinking is an excuse for laziness and lack of responsibility. I have a son-in-law who is a cereal farmer in the UK. If he trusted God for a harvest, that would be worthless if he was unwilling to cultivate the land, plant seeds and feed them. There is the two things running together. hand in hand, trust in God and action. We see this principle over and over again throughout the Bible. Trusting God does not mean folding our hands. It means using the hands he has given us in action. That said, countless people are in action for the wrong reasons. They build altars of wealth, fame and admiration and seek their worth in accomplishments. Such self-aggrandizement has no place in the kingdom of God. Godly ambition is humble. We have each been given gifts to use for the glory of God, the growth of the church and the good of our neighbours. This is not just about formal ministry like being a pastor, a managing director of a business, a cook, a writer, a teacher, a doctor, a waitress, a photographer, a builder, a farmer, to name but a few, can all incorporate these ambitions into their work. The only way we can fight our thirst for glory and power is to be consumed with the glory of God. When we are humbly ambitious, we will be far more concerned with how our work reflects on God than how it reflects on us. We will be far more driven to develop our skills for the sake of our neighbours rather than ourselves. We will cultivate creativity because we love to imitate the Creator of all good things. We will strive to increase the profits of our business with godly integrity and manage them as godly stewards of what God has given us. We will go for the promotion in our place of work because we want to better serve our families and employers. Our action will not be for the honour of our name, but for the honour of God's name. There's nothing wrong with ambition to do something and to do it well when you believe God has called you to do it and want your labour to be fruitful. We must be careful that our ambition does not become tainted by leaving God out of our lives. It is so easy to become caught up in the world's way of thinking and using the gift that God has given us for our own self-aggrandizement. We have the example of the farmer in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. He left God out of his life. Look how many times the word I is mentioned. He had forgotten it was God who had given him the good harvest. Look what the Bible says about him. Thou fool! That is what we must guard against, that our ambition does not become tainted by the world, and we must seek to crucify that in our lives by always seeking the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom in what we do. We don't crucify pride by stifling ambition, but by refining it. And the only way to fight our thirst for glory is to be consumed with his. Nothing keeps us humble like drawing near to God. When Jesus was asked by the lawyers in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Look at the response of the Lord Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. The more we practice this, the more our work will be worship unto him. If I was to give you young people starting out on the next chapter of your lives any advice, it would be this. Be ambitious, work hard, and strive to be the best at what you do. But in everything that you do, put God first. This applies to us all today, whether we are starting out in life's journey, whether we are still active in the workplace, or whether we are retired. Let us make this our desire, to put God first in our lives, and whatever we do, let us do it well. Use those gifts and those talents that God has given us, that he might be glorified in our lives. Amen.